Today we are coming to the conclusion of our summer series. Not that summer's over, I don't want to scare you, but we have been the last 10 Sundays actually looking through the whole idea of what it means to search for happiness. How do we help ourselves to be more content each and every day? And after a week like this, we know that it is even more important to find our self peace that comes from God. And so today we are going to wrap up this series talking about the gift of faith and taking care of our soul, and that indeed, again and again, science has proven, our own experience in life proves, that those people who have faith and practice their faith have a sense of great purpose and contentment. And so today we'll dive into the book of Philippians, as Pastor Dan mentioned, and thinking about Paul's words to us and the challenge for each and every one of us to think about how faith plays this part in our inner soul and how we need to take care of that and nurture it and live it out. So listen for God's word to us from the book of Philippians. This is the first chapter, starting at verse 20 for us today. It is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be put to shame in any way, but that by my speaking with all boldness, Christ will be exalted now as always in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, living is Christ, and dying is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. And I do not know which I prefer. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and to be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. Since I am convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in faith, so that I may share abundantly in your boasting in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. Only live your life in a manner that is worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel, and are in no way intimidated by your opponents. For them, this is evidence of their destruction, but of your salvation. And this is God's doing, for he has graciously granted you the privilege not only of believing in Christ, but of suffering for him as well. Since you are having the same struggle that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Gracious and loving God, we come to this time, a precious time, truthfully, in our week, a time when we stop all of the responsibilities and chaos, disorder, noise in the world, and we come to hear the message that you have designed for us for this day. Give us your heart, Lord. Give us your ears and your eyes and your soul as we think about how we take care of our own soul in your love. We pray. Amen. A few weeks ago, I told you about a Christmas present that I received from my parents, the Christmas that I was so wanting to get the Mrs. Beasley doll, and instead, I received a Bible. I wasn't very happy about it at the time because I really wanted that doll. But the verse that my parents inscribed in the front of that Bible was a verse from Ecclesiastes. And it was the verse, "Remember your Creator. Remember your Creator." That is, honestly, for each and every one of us, that first step of proclaiming this gift of faith. Because when we remember our Creator, the one that formed us in our mother's womb, that gave us the gifts that we have, that designed our personalities, that knitted this place in our soul, a hole that can only be filled by God's love. That's the beginning of this gift of faith. Because that gift of faith, it leads to our transformation. It leads us to a place where we can be full of love and hope and possibility, rather than a place of bitterness and anger and hatred that so many in our world suffer from. Because they, or maybe some days we don't recognize that God indeed created us with a purpose to make a difference. Maybe we think that indeed our heart has been changed, that we have found this gift of faith, but we worry about our neighbor or those people that we see on TV that are full of anger or rage and don't know this gift of love. Fred Craddock, a wonderful preacher who went to be with the Lord just a few years ago, pastored a church in Oklahoma. It was a small town and actually only had 4 churches in that town. And none of them were as full on Sunday mornings as the local cafe, where the locals would come and drink their coffee and talk about the local politics and the weather. And the ringleader of that group was a man named Frank. Frank didn't have the gift of faith. He had this sense of anger, of disappointment with his life, and he would go and talk about it with the cronies at the cafe. And so Pastor Craddock was pretty challenged by this man named Frank. And so when he would encounter Frank, he would invite him to come to church and to learn about this God of love. Because they knew that the word on the street was that Frank would never go to church. Well, Frank knew, obviously, in this small town that Fred was a preacher. So when they met, Frank said to Fred, "You know, Pastor, I work hard. I take care of my family, and I mind my own business." In short, he told Pastor Fred, "Leave me alone. I'm not a prospect for your church." Over the next couple of years, Frank repeated the same line to Fred several times. "I work hard. I take care of my family, and I mind my own business." Frank clearly was not interested in church. So Pastor Fred, he just decided to let Frank live alone. That's why Fred, along with his congregation and the entire town, was, and especially those men at the cafe, were so surprised when Frank, at age 77, came to church one Sunday. He affirmed that indeed he did have this gift of faith in Jesus. And he asked Pastor Fred if he would baptize him. The men at the cafe speculated that Frank, he must be sick, that he felt scared enough that he was going to meet his maker. Some said he must have had heart trouble or something. He must be frightened. All kinds of stories circulated in this small town about why Frank had suddenly got faith. The day after Pastor Fred baptized Frank, the two of them got together at the cafe for coffee. And Fred said, "Frank, do you remember that little saying that you used to say to me so much? I work hard, I take care of my family, and I mind my own business." Frank said, "Yes, Pastor, I remember. I did indeed say that to you quite often." And Fred said, "Well, do you still say that?" Frank said, "Yes, I do." So Pastor Fred, "Well, then what's the difference now?" And Frank said, "Well, you know, Pastor, back then, I didn't know what my business was. I didn't know what my business was. So often, that happens to us. We get so sidetracked by the happenings in our life that discourage us, that cause us to struggle and lose hope or purpose for our life. And indeed, as the Apostle Paul writes, heaven, it looks pretty good to know that we won't have to suffer anymore, that we can escape days like yesterday where we see hatred lived out in Charlottesville, or we hear about it right here in our own community in the Cedar Valley, where there's gang violence or domestic violence or unfair wages. It happens all around us, and our sense of hope starts to go down and down and down. But what indeed does the Apostle Paul say to us? That there is a reason, brothers and sisters, that we're still here. There is a reason that God has gifted us, even with the sin or the flaws that sometimes overcome us. There's a reason that we're here to proclaim to those around us that indeed God's amazing spirit, it can overcome that anger and hatred that exists around us. In the book, Thielen points out the many reasons of faith that this book of Philippians pours down upon us. This book of Philippians is often called Paul's happiest book because it lifts up all of the reasons that this faith is a gift for us. It first of all gives us courage, right? The courage to overcome those fears. As Pastor Dan began his prayer today, he's scared. It's difficult to see these leaders in the world who bully their way and think that that's what's going to make this world a better place. So we need to have that courage to live that out for our children who hear the news. Our nephews were with us last night, and they saw on TV all that was happening in Charlottesville. And they asked, what is that? How do we answer that if we don't have this gift of faith and courage? And Paul also lifts up to us that there is joy in spite of the difficulties, right? One of our favorite verses, rejoice in the Lord always. Even though it's difficult, rejoice in the Lord. How often do we start out our day with that sense of joy and smile and laughter? Or do we dread what's to come? To be a person of faith, Paul also says that our purpose, it's bigger than just ourselves, because we're a part of a faith community. That when we are discouraged and tired, yawning, wondering how to keep going, we can look around us. We can think about the younger generation that has this opportunity to proclaim their faith just like we have and continue to do. And Paul also lifts up in this book of Philippians in chapter 1 friendships that encouraged him. Think about the relationships that you have built during your life of faith. Think about the pastors that have nurtured you, Sunday school teachers, a grandparent that gave you your first Bible, those relationships and this faith. And Paul also talks about that we can have peace even in the midst of turmoil. Chapter 4, verse 7, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And Paul's faith also gave him strength to face difficult circumstances. Think that he wrote this letter as a prisoner. A letter of hope and encouragement. Even though he was shackled, he had this sense and purpose to help us and encourage us. And Paul's faith also gave him grace to accept himself as a beloved child of God. When we become lost and discouraged, it's because we've lost that sense that God's grace overcomes us. Think about your role as a friend. Think about the challenges that come as a parent when you feel that perhaps your child isn't living up to the expectations. You haven't read all of the manuals on parenthood, right? Or being a grandparent. How do we say the right words? Paul says, you know what? God's grace is sufficient. And that grace is given to you through this gift of faith. And lastly, Paul knew that this gift of faith would give him hope beyond this earthly life. That's what we celebrate when we have a funeral or memorial service. That life doesn't end here, but as believers in Christ, life goes on for eternity, and that this gift of faith gives us that each and every day. The challenge for us, it becomes the joy of practicing this gift of faith. I hope years after I have gone on down the road as your pastor that you remember how often I would encourage you to practice the disciplines of a spiritual life, of praying, of reading the scriptures, of listening to God's voice, of journaling, of taking care of your body as we talked about last week, of knowing of the joy of serving others, whether it's teaching on a Wednesday night or singing in the chancel choir or the unity choir or for the praise team, that there's something in your life that is encouraging those around you. All of us have the opportunity to be a saint. We may not look at ourselves and think, oh, I could be a saint. But indeed, that's what Paul is saying to you. Because of this gift of faith, you can make a difference in this world around you each and every day. It's hard for us really to imagine that God created us to be that saint. There was a woman named Osceola McCarty of Hattiesburg, Mississippi. And I read this story earlier in the week, long obviously before the events of yesterday, but it speaks so mightily to what this country, this world is going through, is having the courage to stand up and to make a difference. She was actually a dropout of junior high education because she wanted to help her family and encourage them. Her maiden aunt was unable to walk, and so she came to live with them. And the family together took care of her and all of the younger brothers and sisters that Osceola had. For the next 75 years, she scrubbed the laundry of the family business in order to pay the bills for the family. Her day started when the sun came up and stopped when it went down, and it was not until she was 87 years old that anyone knew fully who she was. Because that was the year that she gave $150,000, her entire life savings, to the University of Southern Mississippi for scholarships for black students so they could have an education. She looked around her world, as small as it might have been in that little town in Mississippi. But she knew that she loved her neighbor as she loved herself. I want you all to look in your bulletins at this moment at the assurance of pardon. And my prayer is that each day this week, you would read this assurance of pardon. This is the good news. There is no ranking in God's kingdom. There is no ranking in God's kingdom. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. And if we don't start treating each other with that kind of truth, then shame on us. As believers of Jesus Christ Almighty, who treated every person he met, Zacchaeus, the woman at the well, the list goes on, with dignity and love. Look at the people around you. Love them. Don't hate them. Let us pray. God, we thank you for the preciousness of this gift of faith. The Apostle Paul has called us to live this life out with courage and joy and strength. And that because of this gift of faith, we truly can know in our hearts that joy of contentment. And that our lives can truly make a difference for you. We praise you for this gift and pray in the almighty name of Jesus. Amen. I would encourage you to stand and give thanks for the gift of Jesus as we sing together hymn number 123, Fairest Lord Jesus.